This is the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast. I'm Greg Kostroba. Stephen Cook is the founder and artistic director of the Oracle Piano Society in Oracle, Arizona, and he's in the KBOC studios to chat about the society's recent activities as well as their upcoming events this fall. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. This is the Society's 12th season, bringing in pianists to the small town of Oracle, about 2 hours southeast of downtown Phoenix. But it's a lot more than just a concert series. So let's start by talking about your activities within the Oracle community and then with the Native American tribes that live nearby. Particularly what interests me is this conservatory that you've set up just kind of out of nothing.
Back in 2012, we launched the Oracle Piano Society, and we started with a concert series which has persisted throughout the years and grown. And that concert series is what I like to think of as kind of the spine of our conservatory. It's what makes our conservatory different. We offer classes and lessons throughout the season for the students who are local, who we discovered didn't have any access whatsoever to music education. There was no music at the schools at all. And so we determined that we needed to help out. We were in the position to do so. So we started tuition-free band class at the Mammoth San Manuel PK through 12th school. We also provide tuition-free lessons for low-income youth in the community. And we provide assemblies and master classes and other opportunities for the students to meet with the artists that we bring to our signature series concerts. So they go from having zero access to music education to having performers who might have just played at the Kennedy Center or Carnegie Hall or around the world. So it's really exciting, and that's what makes it different, is that a performance focus that we have. The students get to see all levels of music making, from the beginning instruction that they may be getting all the way up until the professional level. And we do have students who have gone up through the system and are now music majors. I had a couple of piano students who now, one is a piano performance major at University of Arizona, and the other is a graduate piano performance major at Arizona State University. So we're really proud of that.
That's really remarkable. And you have a strings program as well.
That's correct. The Auction Indian community has provided us with wonderful funding support through their 12% grant program. So last year we received that grant, and we were able to use that money to not only fund our conservatory, but also to launch a program at the Auction Indian Community Library. And that is taught by Dr. Gregory Hamilton. And it's a wonderful program that we are hoping to continue throughout the years as well. And we hope also to bring those students from the Auction Indian community to attend our chamber music festival and our various concerts and educational events that we have throughout the season.
So. Yeah, that's just a remarkable group of activities that you're doing in that community. Why did you start something in Oracle?
Well, I was fortunate to have wonderful instructors. Robert Hamilton was one of my mentors for many years, all the way from a high school student up through my doctoral studies. He was my great mentor and wonderful human being and musician. And Terry Anjaparitse, my other teacher from the Republic of Georgia, who I studied with at DePaul University. The two of them guided me and brought me to wonderful festivals. They lifted barriers so that I could attend that. That was one of a life-changing experience, and I really saw what being in a community of professional music makers feels like. I just loved that experience and wanted to share that. The goal eventually, ultimately, is to build a large-scale Ravinia of Arizona, building a campus and such. We already have our performing arts center, but I would like to build teaching spaces and practice spaces and make a whole central campus there in Oracle, so that other students can enjoy and learn from these great performers we bring in.
Yeah, and you've already had some traction with students, like you were saying, that are at ASU and at U of A studying piano.
That's correct. Yes.
So there's already a track record, and you have the nonprofit status, so people that are interested in your mission can donate.
Yes, and in fact, this year, because of our work with the low-income community providing these lessons, we now qualify for tax credit donations. So we have instructions on how to do that, but that's basically a dollar for dollar contribution that is money back in your pocket, but you can support great causes.
In addition to the conservatory, you have a strong connection with Cuba and Cuban musicians. Tell us how that developed over time, and what's that mean for this fall for your activities?
A year and a half ago, we had wonderful supporters, concert growers, and former state legislators, actually, Jim Walsh, Jim and Judy, who had experienced this trip to Cuba, this very special trip through the Cuba Rhythm and Views Organization. Jim Walsh connected me with Neil Birnbaum, who's the director of that organization. Last year, we arranged a trip. I mean, the Cuba Rhythm and Views arranged the trip for Oracle Piano Society supporters to go to Cuba and experience the culture firsthand. And Aldo Lopez Gavilan, the great Cuban pianist, was the host of that trip, even so that the people who attended were able to meet with him and kind of explore Cuba personally. And it was really a wonderful experience. I went along on the trip, and I was able to see the vibrant culture and the visual art, dance, music that's going on there, despite the lack of resources, which are significant in Cuba. It's really eye-opening to see what they're persevering with, and just the basic needs are not available. When there, we visited the Amadeo Roldan Conservatory and saw several wonderful students who we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could provide an opportunity for these students? I mean, they're very serious, hardworking. Wouldn't it be great to give them an opportunity to come to our chamber music festival in the United States? And so I just decided that's what we were going to do without any idea how to do it.
Or the challenges involved. Yeah. The Cuban embargo has been going on for decades. How did you get that to happen? How did you get these young performers to be able to come to Arizona?
First, we organized a group of wonderful supporters who made it possible. So each supporter pledged to sponsor a student. Then I contacted the U.S. Embassy in Cuba, which was very difficult to get a hold of. We'd just get kind of a form letter back from email. I tried to call, couldn't get through. So I contacted the Cuban embassy in Washington, D.C. Through the contact there, I had a meeting, a Zoom meeting with one of the diplomats there. And he provided me with a contact of one of the people at the U.S. embassy. So through that contact, I was able to make the case for this program, despite the fact that on their website and everywhere, the U.S. Embassy was officially stating that they were not issuing U.S. visitor visas for Cubans. But somehow through this process, they decided that this was an exceptional case, and so they decided to issue the visas. So we have now four very talented, wonderful Cuban students coming to our Chamber Music Festival that happens January 1st through the 6th of 2025. So that's going to be a really great experience for them, and also for our students from the U.S. who will get to benefit from the cross-cultural exchange that will inspire them, and our students will inspire the Cubans.
And you've got another trip to Cuba coming up January 15th through 20th through Cuba Rhythm and Views. And you talked about Aldo Lopez Gavilan earlier. You had him on your series last year, and you're starting out this fall with a film screening about him and his brother Ilmar, who's a violinist who teaches at the Manhattan School in New York. How did the film develop, and how did you get involved with screening it in Oracle?
Well, I'm not certain how it got developed. I know that it was produced by Patchworks Films, which I believe is a U.S. company, and I think that it was produced in the United States. Ilmar is a U.S. citizen and lives in New York, as you said, and member of the Harlem String Quartet. And Aldo is still in Cuba. So the film is sort of about their challenges that are sprung upon them because of the international issues with embargoes and such. And so, Aldo for a long time wasn't able to perform with his brother. He's been able to now. So this season, Aldo and Ilmar are going to come perform together. I think that's significant, and the film kind of will paint that picture, and then to have this finale of the two of them in person is exciting. The film screening is free. It's happening this Saturday at 3 p.m., and we're going to serve popcorn. And also, there's a Cuba Rhythm and Views documentary, a short documentary that will be screened at the same time. So we'll have a kind of a double feature.
So that's this Saturday.
Yes.
And then the concert with the brothers, Los Hermanos, is December 8th.
That's correct. Yes, they'll be coming, the two of them coming to town on December 8th for them to come to rural Oracle, Arizona with a population of something like 4,000, it's a big deal.
So. Yeah, that is a big deal. That's amazing that you were able to get all of that to happen. The rest of the fall activities that you have another film screening. This really interests me. It's a 100th anniversary screening of a silent film with actual live music composed recently to accompany that film. Tell us a little bit about The Mine with the Iron Door.
Yes, this is amazing, actually, how this came together, because I wasn't the first to push for this. The Oracle Historical Society is the one who was planning to hold this 100th anniversary screening. But last season, I brought Brian Holman, who is actually, we went to school together. He's a pianist, but composer as well. Just by chance, this Mine with the Iron Door was mentioned while he was here, and he said, oh yeah, I wrote the score for the 90th anniversary screening of the film. And so then we decided, okay, we have to partner and make this happen for the 100th anniversary. So he's coming back, and he will be conducting a chamber ensemble. That's a partnership with the Oracle Historical Society, the Triangle L Art Ranch, which is an amazing place, and funded by a grant from the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. And this film was filmed in Oracle in 1924. These filmmakers came to Oracle and actually stayed at the Triangle L Ranch. And the day before, by the way, there will be an outdoor screening of the movie with the orchestra at the Triangle L Ranch. So it's a kind of a two-day event.
Okay. There. And that's so October 5th?
5th, yeah. So that's tickets for that are sold on their website. And then we're hosting the indoors concert on the 6th.
And then October 20th, you're playing.
Yes.
You're a very, very fine pianist with a doctorate, as you mentioned, from ASU, studying with Robert Hamilton. Tell us a little bit about this concert. It's a Halloween concert, but it's a little different, isn't it?
It's a collaboration between myself and Dr. Christopher Norby, who is a wonderful Irish composer, professor at Arizona State University. He's from Derry, Northern Ireland. We decided that we wanted to kind of do a combination of Halloween and Samhain, the Irish origin of Halloween, basically. So he's going to help with that. He's been in Ireland this summer taking pictures and shooting footage of strange, creepy or historic places in Ireland. And so we'll have projections of those places. And he's writing some pieces focused on the Samhain theme. And I've been looking into the melodrama genre, which is music for spoken voice and piano. And so I've done a few of those. But for this particular concert, I found it's a melodrama based on Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. So I will be reading the entire Raven while playing piano accompaniment. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've also written some transcriptions of Brahms' vocal duets, which are particularly creepy, like the Walpurgis Nacht about the witch at night of the witches. I've written those for a solo piano, so I'll be playing those, as well as a new original composition that I'm writing, which is focused on Arizona folklore and specifically ghost stories. That particular piece is called White Boots, and it's based on a legend or a ghost story about a mine that is near Oracle. And supposedly this ghost is just feet and wanders through the mine because he was dismembered in some kind of mining accident. And it incorporates some of the folk song, The Hardworking Miner, which was, I guess, popular back in the day among miners. So.
Okay. And that's October 20th.
Yes.
And that's also an Oracle. Tell us about the venue that these concerts take place in.
Oracle Center for the Arts is an old Masonic temple. I think it's from the 60s. We were able to purchase it early on, about a couple of years into our incorporation. So we've transformed it into this wonderful performance space. The maximum capacity is 155. So you're basically just right across the room from whatever performer we bring. It's a very intimate venue, and you can hear everything. We've got pianos that fill the room. We have a nice Baldwin and then another Steinway that we just acquired. So we've got nice instruments. It's a fun venue. But we hold 10 concerts with our signature series.
So 10 concerts. We've also got a competition winners concert November 3rd, and that's from the winners of last year's Chamber Music Festival, right?
2 years ago at our festival, we decided to hold kind of a jury at the end of the student concert at the end of our chamber festival. So the faculty confers after the concert and selects one group to come back and perform for the next season as a paid official guest artist. It's a way to help them kind of launch their careers and bring some excitement to the festival. So we have a wonderful group coming back this year. We also have a solo pianist.
So that's November 3rd. December 8th, the concert with Aldo and Ilmar Lopez Gavilan. And we'll have you back in December to chat about this year's Chamber Music Festival, because I love this concept of having a music festival for young people where they get to perform and they get to hear great music from great artists, and the fact that they're in this small community that you've really developed this whole thing to happen. It's just really exciting. Stephen Cook, the artistic director of the Oracle Piano Society, doing a whole lot, as we've been talking about, in the community of Oracle, Arizona. More information about the society is at oraclepianosociety.org. Stephen, always great to see you. Thanks for coming in and chatting.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kustraba.